Hey, hey, cool cats. Welcome back to another episode of Venture Maidens. We're busy behind the scenes, so I don't have much in the way of announcements for you. But let's go ahead and spread some gratitude, hit that recap, and we'll dive right in. Thank you so much to Emily Mayo for composing our favorite campaign theme song. Thank you to Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music. Thank you to all the wonderful folks who spread the word about the show. And a deep and special thank you to the big-hearted humans who make this all possible by donating monthly on Patreon. We say it often, we say it loud and proud, but it's always worth repeating that you, dear donors, are the real heroes of this story. So, that's it. Let's go ahead and do that recap. Last time on Venture Maidens, at Tandy's behest, our heroes headed to a Harangon village to investigate a gargantuan sinkhole that had swallowed a local hero named Monte. After a cursory investigation, our crew headed down into the hole and discovered the tunnel actually ended in the wild, inside the Blossom Sovereign Court, Demesne. An excitable garlic-headed guard led the party to see Duke Walla, the Blossom Duke who had captured Monte and falsely accused him of creating the sinkhole in his realm. Some quick thinking from Aoife convinced the Duke to place Monte in the party's custody until they could discover the true culprit. Monte and the maidens set off to speak with a local scholar named Professor Mole, but were waylaid on the road by a dashing, flower-headed bandit named Dandy Lion. A fiery display from Monte quickly convinced Dandy and his band that they would make better friends than enemies, and the bandits escorted the party along the final stretch to Professor Mole's house. But they arrived only to find the professor under attack. And that's what happened. So now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Deep under the Blossom Court, the worms turn to bloody sport. If they keep up the frenzy song, our mortal friends won't last for long. Get your hands dirty as we head into favor, episode 33, Feast for Worms.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Oh my gosh. I am so excited to be here with you all, including our lovely guest star, Jorge. Say hello, everybody. Or say hello, Jorge, so they know your voice.
Yay!
And then we can say hello to you too. Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Jorge.
Hi, everybody.
We are so excited to have Jorge back this time and his fabulous character, Monte, helping to keep us alive. Bless you. Thank you for being here again. Unfortunately, this will be the last episode as well as the second episode. So, boy, I hope Monte survives.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, on that note, hey, everybody, if you're new here, we are Venture Maidens. We are a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. Before we dive too much in, I want to say Venture Maidens is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy, not approved or endorsed by Wizards of the Coast. Just wanted to say that before we dive in here. But yeah, this is a very adult-themed stream, so you can expect common themes of, like, normal fantasy, gore, violence. We keep just, like, a general body horror content warning up. We also have some other content warnings for this episode, including natural disasters, confined spaces, and worms. So if any of those things are an issue for you, you may not want to watch or listen to this episode in particular. But with that, we've got a lot to do, so let's go ahead and dive in. Hey everybody, my name is Celeste Conowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, I'm Nassim Etemad, and I'm playing your half-orc fighter, and now also a little baby budding druid.
Oh my druid!
Tony Silvertail.
Hello, my name is Katie, and I'm Sage,
and tonight I'll be playing your brave bard, Aoife Flannery.
It's me, RoboGoblin, and you can find me at TTRP. Wait, no, that's not it. And tonight, I'll be playing Monte, the Harangon fighter, level 6. And I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, yes. You know, we got a little taste of how cool all your Eldritch Knight stuff is last time. I'm excited to see more of it, because, oh boy, we're starting with a combat, folks. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so at the very end of last time, you had completed your journey. Now, with Dandy and his dandy men in tow, you had walked, like, into this little central clearing where you had seen kind of a ground, like a dirt piled up hovel in the middle of this field, and emerging from the door, you had seen this mole person. So imagine a mole, except human sized and walking around on like 2 feet. He's wearing like a little waistcoat and has very large bifocal glasses on his face. And he's holding this like walking cane that he's slapping against the ground right now. And as you had approached and kind of taken this in, you had seen that sticking out of the ground at various points were these tentacle shaped things, like this bruised purple colored, just, yeah, these things were erupting from the ground. And he had yelled at you from across the way, "Well, what are you waiting for? Get them!" As he had been, like, smacking down one of these things that had been popping out of the ground in front of him. And instantly, Dandy and all of the bandits who had been following him, now kind of creeping along both sides of you, not sure what to do in the fields, spring out and had sprung to action, drawing, like, rapiers and, you know, crossbows, and are just attacking whatever these things are. So we're starting off right away, bam, in combat, in initiative. So let's go around and get those initiative rolls, everybody. What did we get?
I got a 14.
17 for Monty.
30, 20.
Wow, way better so far than last time.
Yeah, 100%. And Aoife with the 19.
Look at you guys learning. I think Monte was the only one above 10 last time, so this already bodes well. Good, good, good. Okay. Dandy, actually, like, they had been the first in initiative to react as well. You hear the, "Aha! On guard, you!" As Dandy, like, leaps in front of you, Tony. And yes, taking a swashbuckler's stance and is, like, throwing his sword out, like, towards, you know, doing battle with one of these tentacle things, which you see now just keep coming out of the ground. So they're very long and thin and, like, sort of pointed at the end. But there's something, like, undulating about them, like their body is like expanding and contracting, so it's hard to tell if this is all part of one creature and you're just seeing the tentacles like come out of the ground, or if these are things like snakes or worms of some kind. He is doing battle with that, and you see his merry men are also like about to fight a bunch of these things that just keep erupting out of the ground. There must be at least a dozen or so. So Tony, now then, we come to you. What are you doing?
I kind of want to try something weird. Looking at the ground, is there like an obvious pattern in any way that the tentacles are coming out of, or is it just kind of a random patch?
Like, imagine you're in kind of a circular yard area that's all just stamped like dirt, plants or anything here. And it does just kind of seem like they're all over, like dotting out from all over this flat space here. So there doesn't seem to be like a central source, or if there is one, it must be much lower below the ground.
What if I try to, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt them. I wanted to mold the earth and like solidify it and try and cut off the tentacles. How would you feel about that?
Is mold earth like a cantrip, or is it a first level spell? What level?
It's a cantrip.
I don't know if that would be powerful enough to like harm them, but I could see like you could totally try to like move away the earth to like see more of what one of these things are. I would totally buy that, but I don't think.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I like that better. I can excavate it. So I'll excavate a cube of earth like and chuck it like 5 feet away.
Nice. So you could basically, you take a 5 by 5 foot square and just be like move the earth out.
Given this is her first time using this ability and she doesn't even know what's happening again, she's like, well, what other cool things can I do? And she's trying to imagine what's the best angle to get at this thing, trying to imagine the whole picture. And something about the ground as she's thinking about it feels like tangible. She has a sense like she can almost grip it with her own mind. And as she tries to hold on to that feeling, it gets stronger and stronger, and she can feel like this magical lace form around a chunk of the earth, and it starts to lift off the ground.
So cool. Yeah. So you hear, like, as you're thinking this, and, you know, you go to that faraway place where it's like, what? You hear like a, like almost a popping sound come up as just a hail of dirt, like, explodes outwards from, like, one of these, like, the center of the yard. And you hear like a, come from, like, Professor Mole, presumably, who is just surprised by the sudden gout. And you can see, you know, one of Dandy's men that was, like, going for it is like, whoa, and, like, tumbles backwards. And you can see in this, like, 5-foot, you know, crater you've kind of made in the center of the yard, now one of these things in its entirety. It's probably about 3 feet long or so, and it's a worm as it's flopping there. You can see, you know, the middle of it is a little bit fatter with kind of that ring that earthworms have, and it is mostly that bruisey purple color. And it's just like, with suddenly nowhere to like hold it up, you see it kind of writhing on the ground for a second before it becomes very like serpentine all of a sudden, and like stands up of its own weight and seems to be swaying its head back and forth. So they're like big earthworms. So you can tell they are not all connected. These all seem to be individual worms. That was very cool. Do you have inspiration already?
No.
Take a point of inspiration for that. That was all very cool.
Amazing. Thank you. That was an action, but I'm trying to remember if I can speak with animals or not, because I have it written down and I'm not quite sure where it's from, if it's another cantrip or...
That's a first level spell.
Because you have speak with plants through your item.
Oh, okay. Then I guess that must be a spell. Well, that would be another action then. I guess that's the end of my turn.
Do you want to move closer towards like this creature in the center or any of the other ones like popping out of the ground?
I just want to stay close to... Is everyone doing okay, health-wise? We haven't really done anything, right?
No, we haven't done anything.
Yeah, no, we're all full up.
Just out of, like, random, like, oh, he's got my back, Dandelion? All right, I'm coming. I'm gonna go be up next to where he is.
Yeah, sure. Casually. Yeah, you go and you flank, like, with Dandy.
I'm just helping out. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, as he's like, ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha! And he'll go, madam? And like in the middle of, you know, his sword play, like dueling with one of these like worm things. And then we come to, yeah, sure, let's do that. Because so now you and Dandy are squaring off with another of these things. And you see as it approaches, it seems to like shoot up like another foot or so out of the earth here. And you see these things can get like long and very spindly as it's like doing the almost like a cobra headed thing. And then it goes and lunges out of the earth towards you. Let's see how it do. Oh boy, that's a 20.
Yep. It's a nice big success.
As it's like getting really close towards you, you see that its head opens up like into a like a three flower like kind of fold, and you see like a little like flailing tongue and like a ring of circular teeth in this thing as it latches onto you and bites you. That is going to be 3 piercing damage as this thing bites you. And then it's going to keep on going as it, like, takes a bite and then rears up and it's, like, slamming its body down into you. All right, a 14 is not going to hit you, right?
Yeah, I think it will. I don't think I have my shield out, so.
Then that is going to be, so that is going to be 9 points of bludgeoning damage. So it bites you and then it rears back its head and it launches itself onto your body. So now you can feel it. It's crawling like up, sitting on your armor. It's no longer in the ground as it's like crawling on you. Aoife, we come to you. So you see one of these things crawling around on Tony. And then there is a big exposed one in the middle of the yard here. And then obviously there are about 10 more that still haven't emerged from the earth yet.
Ooh, delightful. Well, she is going to move up to next to Tony and Sir Dandelion, and being inspired by seeing his fancy footwork and with his rapier, he feels like, that looks so cool. I've never seen anyone do anything like that. Like, all right. And she like watches his movement and then she tries to mimic it. So she's going to pull out her rapier and try to stab at this thing.
Cool. And you're stabbing at the one that is currently on Tony?
Yes.
Okay.
And that will be a an unnatural 20 to hit. Hell yeah. Let's go. Yeah. She's
You're
a quick
learning
study.
Some stuff. Yeah. You just needed a rogue, like a sword wielding rapier rogue to inspire you.
She's like, oh, I get it now. And that's 10 damage. Very respectable.
Oh, that is respectable. It doesn't have any, it doesn't seem to have that magic resistance that Fae do. So that's all pure damage, baby.
Nice, hell yeah. And then she will use her bonus action to give Lou a bardic inspiration die.
Are you proud of me, Lou?
I'm always proud of you, baby.
look, mom. I'm doing it.
Growing up. Amazing. Anything else for you, Aoife?
That is her turn. Yeah.
All right. So right now we have Professor Mole smacking some stuff, and then we have Jorge and Lou are kind of in, Monte and Lou are sort of in the back at this point. So that means that Aoife's probably a nice looking target. So the one that is like flopping around in the center now, after it like kind of finds its footing, it seems to just move with like a very intense speed, crawls like up out of the chasm, and then like launches towards you, Aoife. Ooh, I'm gonna do this. We all said we were okay with gross, so let's do this. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw for me.
Ooh, that is a 10, but we're going to use our inspiration to re-roll that because...
Wise choice.
That's... I don't like where this is going. Ooh, much better. That is a 21.
Okay, so you are like, whoa, as this thing seems to leap out of the air, and like it did to Tony, right, where it seems to be just like coming like right for, almost aiming right for the center of your chest. It goes like really flat and you see its mouth open up as it's approaching, and you just out the last minute manage to like sidestep, and this thing like goes past you and kind of lands in that space. But it's definitely clocking you. Monte, we now come to you. So there are currently two of these worm things that are like in the tangle of your companions in front of you.
Okay, I'm just gonna go after the one that's closest to me, the worm that's closest to me.
That's probably the one neck on Tony right now.
Okay, that's perfect. So I just snap my fingers and I summon my greatsword and I just get run towards it, and then I jump or try to jump over it and like try to come down with like the smash sword doing that.
Cool. I don't think you have any trouble jumping over this thing. You got those herringon.
Look at those
legs.
Gams.
You're great. All right. Go ahead, make that attack roll. Look at those gams. Damn.
Never skip leg day.
No. That's your favorite. It's only rabbit people say that.
Oh, that's a natural 20.
Holy shit!
Oh. Beep, 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 beep!
What is this? The trend continues. Nice. All right. So I like to do max damage, and then you roll for the second damage.
So that's 25. slashing damage.
Okay. All right. So, damn. So I think actually probably then you would want to target maybe the one that's on the ground by Aoife. You like bisect this thing into two pieces for sure, and you see the two halves of it like wriggling on the ground, you know, like when you cut an earthworm. Does anybody here have anything that would block like mind stuff?
Well, as an action, I can counter charm, but I have to do that. But I do have advantage against spells and other magical effects.
Yeah, advantage on being charmed and sleep.
So, Monte, I think you would hear this first, this wail, like this alien shrill sound, like starts ringing in your ears and starts very quietly, but then gets louder, this just sound of like pain and like anger. And it takes you a moment to realize that it's not a sound outside your ears. It's coming from inside your head. And the rest of you, I think, would trickle out too as you begin to hear this like keening wail of anguish, like at the corners of your mind.
Oh shit. Monte just tries to, oh man, maybe I did something wrong, but I don't know if I want to attack the other one. And he still has his sword on the ground, so he takes it out And he points to the other worm. So yeah, I'll just move closer to it and just prepare myself to whatever comes.
I will say, as you know, you are like taking that in and looking towards the other one. You see that worm that you cut in half. The two pieces start to like creep back towards each other and start to fuse.
Oh.
You can see the tissues start to like reconnect as these things seem to have some regenerative capabilities.
Oh no! Oh no!
That's
the end of my turn.
Okay. We learned a lot this turn. Good turn. So you all are taking in that, and all of this is happening, and you're hearing that psychic like noise in your ear that came from this thing. And as the worm starts to piece itself together, like that sound kind of dies down in your minds. But, you know, Lou, you don't have a ton of time to take this in because bursting from right behind you, you hear the like the crumbling of dirt, and then something is launching itself at you from behind here. So this one's gonna try and go for a bite on the back of your neck.
Yep.
Ooh, a nice 23.
Aoife will use her reaction to cast Silvery Barbs. Please, no! So reroll that d20.
No! So, damn. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give Monte advantage on the next attack roll you make.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that becomes... damn. That becomes an 8.
Ha-ha!
So, like, yeah, your Silvery light wraps around this thing and its aim it just stops in its tracks and goes blah. It has to like splat down onto the ground. Oh, nuts. My favorite spell. All right. And then Lou, you get a chance to retaliate.
Yay. And I will.
You dick.
As this thing is falling to the ground, she's going to like, with its like maw still open, like take her hand and like twist it so that the teeth don't touch her hand, and then take out her fillet knife and just try to slice it down the center.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, fillet that.
I'm actually, since I'm by myself, I'm going to actually activate my sonic blade from my sleeve.
And that weird little keening sound sounds an awful like that sound that worms are making psychically in your head, BT dubs.
All right, that is a 16 plus 7.
That will certainly hit a worm, yes.
21 thunder damage.
God damn, rogue shit. My God. All right, devastating. Okay, yeah, you're like, and it like splooges out, you know, some of that yellow fluid, because like worms don't really have blood, that, and they're like kind of writhing on the ground. Then those pieces start to roll back together, and like a zipper, this thing starts to like repair itself.
There's no way I could like do a swoopy move to like throw half of it as I cut down.
To kick it? Yeah, I'll say, if you want to go ahead and, you know, do a little kicky action or try to get the other half away, I think you've learned enough, and you did some good damage, so why don't you go ahead and make me, like, let's do an athletics check to kick it.
Okay.
Kick it.
Far away. Kick it. I'll accept acrobatics, I'll be kind.
Thank you, because that just went from an 8 to a 17.
Yeah, all right. So you you have to describe how fancy your acrobatics kick is that like it gets this thing out of here. Why is it acrobatics instead of strength? Athletics, tell me.
Yeah, so you see her slice it down like she's just like professionally boning a giant salmon, and she just takes it and with her arm just like a flick, and then does a cool spin around and just kind of like roundhouse kicks half of it off to the side.
It's anime style, you know, it goes soaring into the air and you see like a little blink in the distance in the sky as it's gone, blasting off again.
Jess James. That's the names of these two worms.
Oh, Lord.
You didn't know, but now you do.
James, goodbye. Jesse, James.
Where's Meowth?
Well, there are three. There are three worms now, so that was Meowth. Great. Anything else for you?
I will move in closer to the rest of my team.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you all are now officially in this cluster with these two worms and all of you. You see, at this point, you know, the professor is, like, not doing a great job, like, smashing these worms down in the center. He moves slowly. He's clearly an elderly gentle mole. And so he cries out, like, "Quickly! Quickly! The tunnels in the back of the house! We've got to get out of here!" And then we move to Dandy, who continues to, like, fence with this worm in front. And, well, he'll say, "Ha! It looks like you've got this one. Off I go!" And then he, like, rolls and does a weird tumble. And because his body is, like, made of vines, he just sort of, like, bunches up like a ball kind of around his, like, dandelion head for a second. And then rolls away and, like, starts to engage another of these worms that is popping out of the ground. And you're hearing lots of "what-hos" and "ha-has" and "avast, en garde" come from his band. That is all, you know, they all seem to have the catchphrases.
It's part of the training.
It's part of the training, yes. Dandy's men are required by law, the contract they signed, to say these. So, Tony, now we come to you. So there is a worm on your body. And then there is one that has repaired itself since Monte's attack.
Where are these tunnels that
Professor Mole said out back behind his house? So you are currently basically facing, like, in the front of the yard area here. And there is, like, that little dome-shaped hovel in the very center. So he must be referring to something behind that.
And Dandelion rolled off in that direction, correct?
He kind of rolled off in a clearing direction. He's just, like, fighting whatever is popping up out of the ground around the yard area here.
Okay. Well, I guess first things first is get rid of the one on top of me. So we're just going to straight up attack.
Yeah.
21 to hit.
Yes, that will certainly hit.
Hell yeah. With, oh, beautiful. 15 slashing damage, please.
Ooh, and this was the one that was on you? Oh, sorry, you missed the ooh when I was muted. I just did it all for you again. You're welcome, podcast listeners. You got it twice. 15 damage, yep. So this thing is looking not good. Not good after all this. Anything else for you?
Yeah, we're going to take our extra attack.
Yeah.
And drive that sword further down its fucking throat.
Good. Yeah, get in there.
Ooh, and that's the... 19 to hit.
Yes. Yes. These things are soft and squishy. Beautiful.
And that's another 12 damage.
Somehow, this thing is, like, taking these hits and hits and hits, and, like, you can tell you're definitely damaging it. It is, like, getting, you know, smaller and smaller, but the regeneration process, like, as long as the pieces seem to be next to each other, they still seem to be, like, coming back together and, like, bloodily still up. So this thing is getting close, but, like, they pack a lot more of a punch than a normal worm. Anything else for you as this thing, like, is now on the ground and you see, like, its chopped off pieces crawling back together?
Yeah, I want to do a final action surge and get another hit. Just really stomp my boots into its remains and kick it out there into the dirt.
Tony should have a signature move called "fuck off." You.
Yeah,
that's just the last final stomp.
The final stomp. I like that.
We call it death proof.
That was a dirty 20 to hit.
Yes,
with another 14 damage.
Oh, you guys are such killers at this level.
One more attack.
That's another 22 to hit. That was holy quite fuck. The progression. What I got the 19, fuck? 20, 21, 22.
You're just getting angry.
I'm so upset. So amazing. Disgusted by these fucking things touching me. Get off my ass.
I hate this.
Tony takes a level in Barbarian next time.
That's 7 more damage.
Okay, all right. So with that final strike, how do you, like, absolutely destroy this worm to the point it cannot regenerate anymore?
I, like, sword in like the top half that's left, and then in the bottom half, my boots stomping right on top of it, and then pulling it apart, spreading it apart.
Ugh, yeah, you just splatter it, and the pieces, they're all like disintegrated across the floor. There's a plop as like that yellow spray goes along, and you hear that screaming in your mind as it goes, and just like that furious noise is suddenly just cut off. With that final stomp, and it ends very abruptly.
Can I pick up the like mangled flesh and like wave it in front of the other worms and be like, do you want this?
Yeah, and then yes, you sure you can. This is D&D.
I want to intimidate them. Yeah. I want to scare the shit out of them.
All right, yeah, make me an intimidation check.
Thank you. Hell yeah.
I'm just here to say yes.
Ooh, that's a dirty 20.
Damn! Yeah, so you're waving this around, and as you do so, you can see, like, a lot of the worms, they turn, you know, whether they're in mid-fight or whatever, and their heads that split apart into these multi-things, like, do so, and are almost, like, hissing at you like snakes, and that's when you begin to hear this manic chorus. All of these different like tonalities. They don't seem to have any like words that they're reaching out with, but these like this chorus of hisses and shrieking noises that it's overwhelming as they're all coming at you. And honestly, if you had to say any emotion that you're getting from this, it's almost like a mad chorus. Like there's something so disjointed and jarring about these sounds. They don't respond in any way that makes sense to you as you all hear this, like, keening wail.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
I don't think anyone was expecting that. So now this one that had landed and tried to attack you, Aoife, earlier, they seem enraged by whatever Tony has done. And this, like, screaming chorus continues as this thing, like, waves its head back and forth. Like, it can't quite focus on you. There's something wrong with these things. Now that you're hearing that and looking at their behavior, they're just not quite right. Almost like when you have, like, a drugged pet, like, that's home from the vet. Like, the weird kind of stuff they do, that's, like, the vibe you're getting as this thing tries to, like, throw itself again at you. Make me another dexterity saving throw.
Ooh, that one was not great. That is only a 13.
You got any spice you want to throw on that, or...?
I unfortunately do not.
Okay, so let's see. The wormling latches onto a creature and burrows into its body.
Tight. Tight. I love it. Nice.
So, all right. Do you know what like a lamprey is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that circular mouth, it comes and, yeah, attaches onto you, but it doesn't let go, and you start to feel like almost like a cracking, like pain. It's hard to describe what it is as your whole chest starts going numb, and you start to see this thing disappearing into your chest as it is like starting to eat its way inside you. So yeah, that's the 10 piercing damage. Obviously, if you don't pull it out, that's gonna get worse, but it is eating into your chest right now.
I love it.
Love it. You guys said gross.
I would like to say this is not fine.
But Aoife, luckily you get a chance to react as this is happening to you.
So, hearing the psychic shrills and screams coming from these things and the sort of weird energy that they're giving off and having one plunge its way into her chest, she immediately turns to her friends here and is like, get it out!
Stop it! Get it off me!
No! I think this is a very appropriate reaction to this moment.
I thought you were about to do something so epic and save yourself.
But as she turns and she is horrified, you see, she is just, her expression just kind of goes blank. And all around us, everything, like, the air becomes very, like, rarefied. And you begin to see, like, the sort of resonant strands of magic that suffuse, like, the air and the wilds. And then we take on this almost sort of lace-like pattern that like shroud over all of us as she uses her action to counter charm. So until the end of her next turn, we all get advantage on on saving throws against being charmed or frightened, because she feels like this is horrifying. So
this is bad. Yeah. So, ooh, I love that description. Do you have an inspiration point?
No, I didn't, because I spent it.
Get one. That was cool. It was cool as shit. Love that. And their first time using counter charm. Cool.
Yeah. And then as her bonus action, she is going to cast a healing word on Tony, because she Tony
thanks, took
some damage. And you'll heal back 10 damage.
Okay, so fucking return the favor, guys, as this worm is eating your bard. Speaking of which,
I have faith.
Monte, we come to you.
Okay, so I see that, all of that. So I just jump in action and try to run towards Aoife and attack the worm.
I will say there is an option if you would like to use athletics to pull it out. That is an option, or you can directly attack it. Oh. Those are both options.
You have advantage on the next attack you make because of silvery barb, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'll try to just pull it out.
Pull it out? All right, cool. Give me an athletics, like, as you're trying to just... Because this thing, it's still half of its body is flapping in the air, like, out of Aoife, but it is clearly, like... going for it. So yeah, you can grab the end here.
All right, so that's an 18.
Good. Yes, wonderful. So ooh, okay, so you successfully pull this thing out, and I think the worst part of this is, like, as you go and, like, the resistance you encounter of this thing, and then Aoife, that feeling of, like, something that was, like, burrowing into your flesh being pulled out. It's just, like, it's almost worse, right? If you get shot with an arrow and then, like, taking the arrow out, right?
Oh, yeah, because, like, the teeth, they tend to go, like, the opposite way, so they sink in like barbs, and she just shrieks.
And, you know, and, of course, its head splayed open in different directions, so it was, like, a thing. So, like, blah! So there's, like, another gout of, like, blood and viscera as, like, you pull this thing out of Aoife, but you do it, Monte, like... Its head, you know, is like, blah, like, as you're pulling it back out of its body. And of course, like, the chittering that you all begin to hear in your minds is just so extra and weird, like, as this is happening. So, Aoife, you're actually going to take an additional 3 damage. But this was very good, because if it had stayed in you for a full round, things would have been very bad. So I just want to say that. Good job. So, Monte, that was, like, your action to do that. But if you have a bonus action or you want to move, this thing is in your hand now.
Can I use my rabbit hop to just get on it?
Yeah.
To just jump.
Just, like, rabbit hop on top of it, like, stomp it. Yeah, I love this. Jump on it. I love this. Jump on it. Dun, 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 dun. So you're using it to, like, attack and kind of throw your weight on it. So go ahead and give me an attack. I like this, though. I like this.
Okay.
Katie, this feels like important information. Jump on It was the number one song the year you were born.
Maybe it was Jump. Is Jump and Jump On It, are those two different songs?
No, because Jump. Wait, no, wait. So. Is it the same
Let
song?
Let me find out. Hold on. We'll return to this.
I can't remember. This is important. Anyway, what are you doing, Monte? How was your attack?
That's only a 12.
Okay, that is just not enough to hit this thing. So, okay. Like, as you, like, leap up, and you're like, ooh, maybe it just the whole thing, it was just too gross. Like, as you threw it down on the ground and, like, you see it, once it hits the ground, you're coming down, it burrows back into the ground very quickly and seems to disappear. So by the time you, like, land down on it, it's already gone into the earth.
Okay. Yeah, damn it. All right. So that's my turn.
The verdict is those were different songs.
Also,
everybody staying abreast of the Jump conversation.
Yeah, it's I don't even know if it was the number one song anymore. I'm still doing research, but I remembered reading that at some point. I'm sorry, everybody, for having lied to
redacted.
You.
Redacted. We'll just redact all of this. And of course we won't. We always forget to, so enjoy. Okay, so, whoo, all right, so Monte, you did a good getting that out. But at this point, Lou, you see that worm that you split in half? it seems to be rebuilding itself, even without the aid of its other half. So basically what's happening, I'm delaying it a turn because of what you did, but like, it's still not dead. Just want everyone to know that. And then, Lou, we come to you.
I am going to give a good stab to it regenerating right now.
Yeah, hate that.
22.
The AC is 13. 12 was just not enough, but 13 is the number we're looking for.
12 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
Owie. And then as a bonus action, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to use my rogue capabilities to use an object as a bonus action and feed Aoife a potion of healing.
Yay! Thank you!
Do I pour it in your mouth or in the gaping hole? I don't know.
Both, just all over, like Gatorade splash.
All of yeah, you just need all of this. Okay. just get it on there. I don't care how.
8 points of healing. And then I'm going to be like, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. Let's go to these caves.
Yeah, Professor Mole like squeaks from away. Then run behind the house! We've got to go! There will be more!
Fuck! And I'm going to take my 30 feet of movement and start running towards the back of the house.
All right.
Yes, Professor Mole seems to be also, it is officially his turn, so he's like running around the edge of his house back to the hovel. And then we come up on Dandy in his turn, and he's like, my darling! I shall hold them, me and my dandy men. We shall cover your retreat. Come hell or high water, we shall allow you to escape. And then, it pains me to say, our favor is settled, but I shall dream of you, night after night, day after day, until you return to me.
I hope we see each other again. Thank you so much for your guidance, and I will never forget you.
Aha! What ho, fiend! He says, and there's a whoosh, 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 as a sword is moving through the air.
And I grab Aoife and try and yank her with me into the tunnels.
Will you all go into the tunnels?
Yes. Strategic retreat.
Yeah, tactical retreat. Yeah, and even as you are like running around, you know, moving back, you hear like pew, pew, the sounds of more of these things like sprouting out from the earth. So things may look grim for Dandy and his dandy men, but the good news seems that the worms are probably not as interested in burrowing into plant flesh as they are into humanoid flesh. So perhaps our dandy man will live another day.
God, I hope.
I have no doubts.
And yeah, you are ushered behind like the back of the house by Professor Mole. And you can see like there's a very large set of doors built in the ground, like storm cellar type doors. And he runs over and like with his squat little like taloned hand staring at you through his like big, you know, big eyes, like magnifying in his glasses. And he throws open the doors. He's like, hurry, hurry. And you see a tunnel that leads down into the earth.
Yep, so we go there.
Yes, away. Good, wonderful. So as you all, like, scuttle down into this tunnel in the earth, it is completely dark inside this tunnel. So very quickly, as you all run down there and Professor Mole closes the storm doors, you are completely immersed in darkness. So I know, Lou, you have dark vision. Tony, as an orc, you have dark vision. None for Herringon and none for Satyrs, right?
Nope. No.
Oh, cast light!
Huzzah! What are you casting light on?
She'll do it on her rapier since it's out.
Yep. So as you do, and you see Professor Mole like was just leading you forward confidently. So clearly he's been in front of all these tunnels. And the minute like light comes up, he like... You see, like, a shudder, and he, like, turns back at you and looks at you through, like, squinty eyes through his glasses and says, you need that to see?
Yes.
We're not as adept to the darkness as you are.
I shouldn't be surprised. Well, hurry on, hurry on. We'll walk and talk, as he, like, scuttles. And you can see, too, these tunnels are rounded, and they're very squat. So both Monte and Tony are definitely going to have to, like, crouch a little bit. They seem, like, exactly perfect for someone of his girth and height to walk through, as you are seeing him, like, move forward in his, like, little waistcoat. And he turns, like, kind of over his shoulder, like, as he's hurrying forward, winding you through, like, lefts and rights and downs and ups, like, through these tunnels that just seem to keep going on. He'll look over his shoulder occasionally and say things like, "So, what are all you mortals doing here in this place? Were you here about the sinkhole, I'm presuming?"
"Yep. That was how I got here. And then we got a sort of wrapped up in an adventure, and now we're looking for a princess."
"The princess? Princess Burgundy? She has something to do with this?"
And I turn to everybody. Princess Burgundy? Was that the name?"
Yeah, she is missing."
So you were sent by Duke Walla then?"
"Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yes."
"Oh, Duke Walla sending adventurers to me for help?" He seems to be laughing to himself.
"I see you're taking great pleasure in this, but while you're having a good time, would you mind telling us what the fuck those were?"
"Yes, right. Yes, business first. Well, clearly something is wrong with the creatures of this land. I do not know the cause of the sinkhole. I have been stopped by creatures like that whenever I came down here to investigate, but I suspect that something is very wrong with the mother or worm. Obviously, her children are losing it. I've never heard the worm song sound like this before."
"The worm sound?"
"Yes. You know, when you go underground and you hear the worms sing."
"Oh.
That's new for me, but what I got out of that was that there's a really, really big one of those scary things."
"Worms don't sing in your realm?"
"Quietest nope. things I've ever seen."
"Ugh.
Again, we are not as adept and as truly marvelous as you are in living underground."
He seems to, like, kind of pause for a moment as you say that, like, bows his, like, rounded head graciously, like, in acknowledgement, like, "That was the correct answer." Like, in a way a teacher would do.
"I know a lot about being underground, guys. Kick rock."
"Well, kick rock. As you have succinctly summarized, yes, there is a very large worm that dwells beneath this land, and in fact is usually quite a positive force turning the soil, and one of the reasons the Blossom Court has thrived in its demesne. She has always been a critical part of the ecosystem, along with her children, who have never, until this point, seemed interested in eating flesh. So something has clearly gone wrong, and of course they are her children. They're all linked their minds together. So if something is wrong with the mother, then something will be wrong with the children. Do you follow me?"
"Yeah."
"But like I said, I have not been able to go down into the tunnels so far. These creatures keep popping up, these enraged children. So if you can guard me on the way, then we may reach her and perhaps ascertain what has upset her so greatly and see if it has, as I suspect, anything to do with the appearance of this sinkhole."
"So this is not a common thing then. So they attack... They haven't attacked anything until now."
No. They have behaved very much like, what would you call them in your world? The earthworms?"
"Yeah, that's correct, yes."
"This is very unusual. Rarely they are seen above the ground. And as I said, their song has become horrific, corrupted. It's horrible to listen to. Before, it was quite pleasant. As I mind, obviously, my dominion, it was usually a pleasant accompaniment, but not these days. Something has gone terribly wrong."
"And you manage all this dominion by yourself?"
"Indeed, I do."
"That is amazing to see."
"Yes, I am a solitary mole, but someone must do it."
"And you're doing such a fantastic job. I mean, kudos to you."
Thank you. Perhaps when you return to Lord Waller, you can point that out to his royal stinkiness.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
We will certainly put in a good word.
Are you sure we have to rescue his daughter? The two of them are quite obnoxious.
I think you would value having his good favor after helping us find his daughter, don't you think?
His, like, long nose kind of twitches at the idea of it. We shall see. Nothing seems to get through that thick peel of his.
Yep, and it's very stinky. And I just have flashback to that.
Grotesquely stinky. I can't even get near the man. Ugh.
I don't think my smell is coming back anytime soon. But yeah,
it will in a few days, my friend. It will.
Okay. Glad to know that. So yeah, we'll follow you, right? And I turn to everybody.
Yes. It should be further down here. So around here is the point when they start to appear. So stay alert.
Gotcha. I just take out my greatsword and just try to be ready.
And all of you are walking through, again, these very compact tunnels, which, like, twisting, turning, you've gone through so many intersections at this point, like, you absolutely could not navigate your way back through the complexities of these mole tunnels he seems to be leading you through. And his voice drops, like, a measure in volume as he says, "Now, I am uncertain of the exact location of Motherworm's den. It is considered sort of a faux pas for underground creatures to intrude on one another's dominions. But I suspect it was very near the location of that sinkhole. So I am winding our way there. And I suspect when we find it, we shall find the lair and maybe the cause of whatever this is. Do you have any working theories as to what caused the sinkhole's appearance?"
It just appeared over my village. And it's,
your village?
Yes.
In the mortal realm?
Yeah.
So it appeared here and in the mortal realm.
Has created some kind of portal. Which...
A portal?
Most unusual.
Well, that is not good news. A portal cannot be created in a sovereign Demesne without extreme interference. Perhaps the influence of another court, even. Or an archfey, those would be my two guesses. And Lord Waller didn't know anything about it, you're sure?
Yeah, I was captured for a while, then they were interrogating me. So yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't have an idea for this. So you think that somebody's behind the sinkhole?
Oh, certainly. This is not a natural phenomenon of any kind, and portals are not something that can simply be opened in a sovereign Demesne. It would have to be the sovereign Fae that chose to open it in most of these cases, and hence it must be an attack or some kind of message from another Fae of equivalent or greater power.
That's unfortunately what my knowledge about all this ends, because I don't know much about the courts.
Well, let's just say there was a reason I chose to go live in the Blossom Court, as opposed to the others. They're quite nasty. You're better off not knowing about them. You're a Heron gun, right? I hear your people got out of here. Probably a wise decision.
Yeah, I'm a third generation Heron gun, so yeah.
Yes, I was mortal once, and it doesn't mean much to me anymore, but I understand where you're coming from. The Heron guns were noble people. I vaguely recall good positive relations. You stay above ground, I stay below ground. That's that sort of thing.
Oh yeah. So yeah, we just try to keep it to ourselves.
Well, apparently not anymore. If some sovereign Fae is running around opening portals between here and there.
Yep.
Well, that is concerning. Well then, are you capable of fighting a Fae if that is what comes down to it?
Yes.
Are we ever? We fought an archfey. Aoife looks really? Like, stands up a little bit straighter.
And you lived. And this is all what you looked like? You weren't cursed? You weren't changed into this as a result or anything strange?
Yeah, we look like this. Tony responds very aggressively.
You know, standards of beauty, very different. Different world. I mean, men, no offense.
I hear that our ears are quite alarming, so.
Mm-hmm.
Ears are strange. They seem quite unnecessary. He waves at his own, like, mole face, which has no ears, obviously. Why would you need that? And such large, garish eyes you have. Aren't things getting in them all the time?
Yep.
Sometimes.
I've actually been told my eyes are some of my greatest qualities. So beauty is all in the eye of the beholder.
Beholder?
No. God.
Oh, don't worry. There are none of those here.
Okay.
They don't like fairy magic.
Good to know. Good to know.
Wait, so you said you were mortal. How did you become a fae?
Well, I performed some favors, let's say, for our Blossom Sovereign. Wonderful, wonderful individual, by the way. Nothing like Lord Walla. Sort of inherited the position. You know how things are. Also, he's an incompetent boob, obviously, but...
Clearly adept.
Blossom Sovereign. She's lovely. Simply lovely. Now that is the creature that is a true perfection, in my humble opinion. He makes like a little head sighing sound.
Cute.
You got a tiny crush on it. Aww.
If you should ever meet her, consider yourselves lucky.
I think while we're walking, and we do have the opportunity to pick someone's brain about court structure without...
Yeah, who seems to know? Oh, by all means, here is this window if you would like to ask any questions.
And without Rook being like, don't trust anyone, or...
Shut up!
Yeah. Be like, you know, would ask like, what, you know, of the Blossom Court, like, what's the hierarchy like? You know, what do you all do?
What do you do? Yeah. And he will break down for you, like, kind of confirming some of what you learned, like, on the way here. So the Blossom Court, more than any other, is, I guess, how would I describe it? It's not like, communism is close to sort of how it functions, but not really. It's more like all individual bands of Fae that choose to live together to promote and like grow various parts of the Demesne is sort of how it's organized in general. So creatures like of a like mind might all band together to like have an area of coniferous forest that they tend and maintain. And basically they live and work together on, they call them plots, as like the whole realm is divided into plots. That's based on, you know, the more fae you have as part of that one plot, like the bigger it kind of becomes. And they're pretty much self-governing in their own way. So each plot takes care of and tends the land and preserves it in the way that they think is best and most ideal. And in case of trouble, they do have these dukes that are like scattered throughout the lands that kind of oversee these larger areas of plots. And at the very, very center of the Demesne, there is the Blossom Sovereign. And apparently she rules over this like beautiful rose garden at the center that anyone can go to and approach. And the Blossom Court, more than any other, and Professor Mole is happy to explain this, is probably the least involved in politics with the other sovereign fae. They're one of the older courts, and they're not hasty to action, sort of in the way plants are, right? It's their opinion most of the time that doing nothing often solves a lot of problems. Like while all the other sovereign courts, you know, fight and scheme and like whatever, sometimes just playing neutral like wins. So a lot of the other courts consider them like buffoonish or like slow or, you know, not a real threat, but they're totally okay with that. And they're totally okay to let the other courts destroy each other and then just be there to inherit the earth when they're all done fighting. So
Lou will, as they're walking and he's talking about like this radiant Blossom Sovereign, she'll be like, so that's your guys' sovereign for this court. Could I ask you if you've ever heard of someone maybe referred to as the King Unseen or maybe the Witch's Queen? Does that ring any bells?
Oh, the Witch's Queen. Oh, Hecate?
That's what I thought.
horrible, horrible individual. I mean, I haven't personally met her, obviously. I'm still alive. But no, with Heavenly Court, all that, I don't know. I'm not sure if she's the sovereign these days or not, or they're all very... I recommend staying away from them, is all I'll have to say about the Heavenly Court.
Yeah, that's probably really good advice. And anything about a king unseen?
I suppose that could be the Withered Court. We don't see much of them at all. Or perhaps the Sleeping Court, the Great Dragon and all that.
Okay, well, thank you. I read some pretty intense poetry and it referenced it, so I was just hoping to get
poetry.
Some more clarity.
Yes. Not my field of expertise. I'm more of an academic, you understand, but I hear plenty of flowery poetry living in the Blossom Court.
I can imagine.
He's like, why are you laughing? That's quite literal.
Amazing.
No reason. Anyway,
yeah, Eva just like shakes her hand and she's like, it's a mortal thing.
Well then, shall we? Any other questions you would like to ask before shit gets real? Yeah, I will say if you keep Professor Mole alive, he will certainly be a valuable individual to send letters to or ask questions of.
Well, we gonna try, girl.
We're gonna try.
I'm ready for shit to get real.
All right. So you have been like winding your way down, and you can tell, I mean, it's very jarring being underground, like, and having no idea where the sun is, and you've been like kind of feeling yourself go steadily downwards at decline, so you must be going deeper into the earth at this point, but it's, again, very hard to tell, and everything is so quiet as you are surrounded by packed dirt from all sides.
As we're walking down really quick, I would like to actually have Lou take out her glasses.
Yeah.
As we get into the area and turn on X-ray vision to try to look through the walls of dirt around her, and just like turning it off and on. As she goes.
So yeah, you're looking through, and as you see it, oh boy, it is so strange here, because you grew up underground, so you realize most of, like, when you get into the deep earth, and, you know, the caverns that, like, your drow cities were situated in, it's mostly stone. So there's, like, the working layer of earth, typically, and then you get down to, like, the really intense, like, stone layers in the ground. That doesn't seem to be the case. And whatever this Demesne is, you are surrounded by soil, like loose soil. And these tunnels are packed of it. And you must be at least a half mile below the earth at this point, but it's still just like pure workable soil. So you're not sure if that's like a symptom of being in a plant realm or whatever it is, but that makes it really easy to see through at all these various points. And you see like incredible things like bugs, you know, the size of your fist, like moving through, working through the earth. And
I turn them off.
Yeah, you're like, hate that, but like, like pebbles and stones and like geodes, like beautiful like crystals, like in the earth, just waiting to be unmined, as if like it never gets any packed or deeper. It's just deep, rich soil that seems to go on and on forever. It's the perfect growing ground for anything, is what would catch your eye. And yep, you see a big ass like potato bug, you're like, nope, and you turn off your glasses. And then you come to a point where you see this like hole that just leads like straight down, and it's like packed spiral staircase that's about to lead you like really deep down into the earth. And Professor Mole kind of all right, be as quiet as you can. I think we're getting very close.
And we're all on the same page, right? We're not trying to kill this mother worm. We're trying to find out what the issue is.
I would extremely advise against killing her, if at all possible. I don't know if I can, if I've related how large this worm.
Well, you said too, she's normally neutral to benevolent, so.
Very good. If there's any way we can restore.
You got it. So, not
give me some stealth checks. Y'all, let's do a group stealth check. See how quietly we can move. Let's do it. So there are five of us with Professor Mole, so we need three people to succeed.
18.
I got a 24.
23.
Wow. Wait, what'd you get?
15.
Okay, wow, you guys are so fucking quiet. Nice. So you are, like, heading down, and all of a sudden, like, you really get serious. And for the first time, Professor Mole just stops talking as you are, like, creeping down this spiraling staircase into the dark. And the oppressive silence of being surrounded by compacted dirt really starts to weigh on your consciousness as every single step, every little creak just seems to, like, fill your ears. You make your way towards the down, like, the ground. And about halfway through, you all start to feel the ground shake, as if something very, very large is, like, turning in its sleep. You all kind of pause for a second, but you're still so quiet. And it stops, and you continue to move down to the bottom of this staircase here. And again, about a minute later, it happens as, like, everything is rumbling around you and the ground starts to shake beneath your feet and you start to stagger, having trouble staying upright. Everybody make some dexterity saving throws for me.
Oof. Okay.
That's a 26.
Oh, shit.
God damn. Oh.
Bro, stuff.
Wait. I got half of that for 13.
I got a 19.
I'm going to use my inspiration and reroll that.
All right, all right, all right.
Oh, thank goodness. 15?
Okay, yeah, you guys are doing great. This is so good. You're stopping worms from jumping out. This is great. And you see, like, Professor Mole in these moments, he goes, like, full four legs and is, like, totally cool, like, as this happens. It's a little weird to see, like, this rotund mole person, like, in a, you know, a waistcoat, like, acting like a big-ass mole. But, like, as he does, like, you know, his soft little pink hands, like, hit the ground and, like, he just seems to jiggle with the earth and, like, it's all good. And he looks back at you all, like, the minute the earth stops trembling and kind of raises a thumbs up and then, like, has a little creep forward hand. So you continue to creep forward. And at this point, the tunnels stop being that really nice, like, packed earth around you. You start to see more, like, jagged, like, tendrils of, like, roots hanging down and stuff. It's a lot less structured as you come upon this cavern. And it's a lot to take in a moment. And those of you who have a light source can't see the full gravity of what this is, because you can only see about 60 feet or so out. But Lou and Tony, as you are looking out at this gigantic cavern in front of you, you can't help but be kind of overwhelmed by it. It's like a well in the earth. So this gigantic cylinder that's maybe like 400, 500 feet across from side to side here, and seems to, like, carry up and up and up, like, way beyond the range of either of your visions, and down far below. And you can see ringing the sides of the cylinder, there are all of these, like, little tunnels and caverns that seem to have these, like, writhing purplish bodies in them of these worms that are much bigger than the ones that you had encountered previously. And as you are looking down towards, like, where the bottom of this cavern would be, you see something great and purple twisted around the bottom of this thing. And you realize it's, like, just a single coil of what must be a gargantuan worm at the center here. And all of you, even those of you with limited dark vision, can see this worm at the very bottom, because hovering just above, maybe like 60 feet above where this coil is this rift, almost. Like, that's the only way to describe it. It's like this moat of floating, like, electricity that seems to hover and, like, grow bigger and smaller, like, sporadically jumping in size, that seems to block the way down towards this thing. And where this, like, coil is, you can see it. There's this horrible gash in it that's, like, blackened and charred flesh that looks like it's been just, like, devastated by some kind of electric strike, if you had to guess.
Monty just takes out his canteen and he has water in it, and he uses shape water to like put like a text over us and just says, "I think we're here."
And the Professor Mole goes, and nods at you, like waving his like long nose up and down.
As somebody who like tinkers a lot with things and all that, like, is this like moat that we're looking at, does it look like it's like attached? Like, is it like a device that somebody has created, or is it just like magical electricity?
Why don't you go ahead and make me an arcana check looking at it? No. Okay, what would you, what's your like tinkerer skill? Do you have tinker's tools? Is that, you don't have those?
No, I don't have tinker's tools. Investigation, maybe?
Yeah, maybe investigation, because you're puzzling together what's going on. I'll accept that.
Yeah, okay. So that is an 11 plus 8, so 19.
Okay. So as you're watching this thing, and you're kind of watching its patterns, it's really interesting. It's definitely not connected to a device. It seems to be, but it does seem to be rooted in place by something. So like some kind of gravitational law or force or something is keeping it in place. And the way it like jumps out and forward, at its highest point, it does expand to be like this very large circular sphere that's almost like a true net that goes over the course of this thing. But it also at times comes back together. So it seems really unstable. Whatever it is. And it doesn't seem to be generated by a device. So some kind of arcane power, whatever is feeding it, isn't visible. And like knowing before the idea of portals and like what you've heard, like this does seem to be some kind of portal that seems to be fixed in place here. It's clearly unstable the way it is jumping up and forward and around. But like the disc-like shape of it too, as you're looking at it, and like that big like slice that has been taken out of the coil that you can see, it's probably not hard to assume that maybe this thing might have injured the worm that you're seeing down below.
I will relay this information to everyone and look to everyone else, because everyone else can do magic except for me. And I'll be like, mages, portal, unstable clearly. How do these things normally work? Are we looking for, what are they called? Is it a rune? Do we find a rune? That's the only term I know.
Rune, that's a magical word, right? It's like, if I'm talking about math, I'm like, yes, hypotenuse, that's a word.
The limit does not exist.
Mm-hmm. Limit, yes.
I love blue.
Yes.
But is it something that I can actually analyze to see if there's a source behind it, or if there's something we can do here to just close that thing?
I mean, you're an Eldritch Knight, you know, you cast magic. You've seen it directly influenced. I would totally let you have a check on like what you know about portals, and maybe this is something. Also, your people had to, you know, use a portal to navigate between worlds. So you, like, in your history, your folklore, I think you might know quite a bit about portals. So go ahead and roll with advantage and give me maybe an arcana or a history check would apply, I think.
Ooh, okay, that's good, because I rolled a natural 1 and a 19.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
A natural 20.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up the Venture Maidens campaign guide, and you are going to get the information about portals that is contained within.
I don't know if you guys have heard about the Venture Maiden campaign guide, but it's pretty cool. You can buy the PDF on our website, venturemaidens.com.
You get inspiration for marketing.
Thank you.
Hashtag ad.
Though two realms and the plains may share a border, physically stepping from one to the other is impossible without a crossing point. These crossing points, called gates, can manifest in various ways and take different forms, but all are hazardous to ill-prepared travelers who try to use them. So the types of gates, and this is information that you would know from your people. Like, this is important information for Fae who have tried to cross over, and like why it's so hard for Fae generally to move from the fairy realm to the mortal realm. So there are three types of gates. There's physical gates, psychic gates, and portals. So clearly, portal is what you are dealing with here of the different types of gates. Crossing points created by magical spells or spell-like effects that remain open only for a short time. They are generally, of the three, the safest and most predictable way to travel between the realms, but they still obviously have their huge problems. Few creatures in the world ever attain the ability to cast such potent spells, so this had to be the result of a spell. It had to be the result of a very potent caster to do it. So this is an issue. So when you're dealing with a portal, you got to do activation. So there's usually some way that can activate it. Stability is an issue. Destination, you've already ascertained this is a portal that goes between here and there. So basically, you're looking at the effect of a big ass, like a caster with major power caused this thing to open. And probably the only way to close it is to get someone of equivalent power to shut this shit down. This is probably not something you all have the capacity to do so, but perhaps a duke of the realm might be able to do something about it. Certainly a sovereign of the realm could do something about it. Or like you're talking like an archmage. Someone of probably level 12 or higher could probably do something about this.
Yeah, we'll just level up right here. Level 6. 6 levels here.
Tony, unlock your new mage potential.
Initiate training montage.
You're the best around.
So Monty looks at everybody and he's like signing, and under him is like captions under him. And he's just saying that whatever made the portal or whoever made the portal is a really magical, powerful mage. And we need someone of equal power to close it. And so this is a portal.
While you are like signing and trying to quietly explain this, please give me a stealth check while you're doing this. While you all are having these like kind of conversations here, just like how
all of us?
Yeah, probably all of you.
I got a 16.
18.
Dirty 20.
I forgot that most of us know how to sign in this.
Yeah. Because it's a normal thing in the Eldrin Empire. Common sign is a language that everybody pretty much knows.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's like, because it's the language of, it's adapted from spellcasting. So they use it as their universal language. What'd you get, Tony? I don't think I heard from you.
First elf, 8.
So, Tony, I don't think you're being that loud, like physically, but there's, at some point, maybe you're thinking about something a little much or something weird happens. Like all of a sudden, in a corner of your mind, you feel something there that wasn't before. And there's like a low humming that comes to your mind, almost like a groan that seems to just stretch on and on. Do you do anything about it?
I think she's already kind of on hyper alert because she really decimated one of these children of this gigantic mother. Yeah. So in her own mind, she'll probably say, like, is someone there?
Yeah. And as you reach out, you feel someone listening. Something listening to you, and the sound dulls before you hear, are you alone?
No.
There's like a sad, like, pained sigh. Are you here to hurt us?
And as softly as she possibly can. No.
There's another, like, long, pained sigh that comes to your mind.
I will send them.
Please, we don't want to harm any of you. We've come to see how we can help. You seem to be in a lot of distress, you and your family, and we think we know what the cause is. but we need to find out a way to fix it.
And the breathing continues in your mind. And from somewhere far below, Lou and Tony, you would be able to see this first. You see, like, out of one of these side, like, tunnels from somewhere very way down, like, very close to the coils of the Great Worm, two figures emerge. And you see, like, one of them is very, it's a very, very small person. Like, from this side, you can't really see anything about them other than, like, there's kind of flashes, like, white and green is, like, the only, like, impressions you get from this distance. And then, like, a brownish, tall individual coming from behind. And as these two, like, sort of step out of this, like, little cavern space, you hear, like, this popping of earth as, like, some of these, like, writhing worms from up above kind of, like, fall down, almost, like, raining down onto these two, popping out and, like, coiling around them. And the small figure seems to be, like, holding a hand outwards, and they part as the figure, like, walks, and the worms do not bother these people as they move up and start spiraling up closer, seeming to walk up towards you all. Are you doing anything? You have certainly much time to react before these two individuals and this train of worms they're attracting seem to get to you.
Who's that?
In my head, can I ask, are you sending these two below to speak with us?
Yeah, there's like a... and like this horrible, like this like feeling of sudden like anger like reaches out towards you as they're like consumed maybe by pain or something, and like there's just this like flash of like red that goes across your mind, and the tunnels start to shake around you, and you see the two figures like hold out like towards the ledge to like hold on as what's going on, and you just hear like the keening sound of like thousands of worm voices, like what you heard up before, like start screaming in your head once again.
Oh god. Well then at that point I'm just gonna tell everyone, I think the mother worm was speaking to me telepathically. She sounds very upset and distressed, but almost not by choice. It's like she can't help but feel angry.
Professor Mole is like, okay, but I think we should leave. That does not sound good. That is not the worm song. And he's saying it out loud now. He doesn't even give a fuck. Like, clearly something is happening, right?
Okay.
All right, do we think stay and talk? Do we think get out? What are we feeling?
I think get out makes sense. We already know that we are not strong enough to deal with what's in there. And if those things really want to come talk to us, they can follow us, I guess.
You said there was two people, there was two humanoids there. So could that be the princess and Patches? I think it was.
Princess? Tony yells out.
As you're like looking, like squinting at the edge of your vision, and these two like keep coming up closer and closer, you kind of like ring that out. So you're just like yelling that down into the hole.
Yeah.
And yeah, as your voice like travels, you see, and like you're squinting, and like a little, the small figure who seems to be like holding out a hand and somehow repelling these worms sort of like waves a hand around up to you, and you hear like a squeaking,
Tony,
like from far away.
Princess, we're here to find you. Please hurry.
The figure, like, from this point, starts, like, waving towards herself. Like, come close.
Well, okay. Tony will pull out her sword and her shield and... Well, I guess she can't do that. She'll pull out her sword and will stay close to Professor Mole and tell him, sorry, we have another job. We gotta go, and you're not standing here alone.
Are you... You're gonna go... You... Huh? Are you sure?
We need your keen mind and insight in order to determine what is plaguing the dear great worm. Only your beneficence and immeasurable knowledge could help us in this trying time to save the realm.
Make me a persuasion check with advantage, because you're playing to his ego.
Yeah. Ooh. Hell yeah, that is 17 plus 7, 24.
Nice.
I suppose.
Hell yeah.
In the name of science, I should. Yes, I shall accompany you.
Think of how grateful the sovereign of this realm would be knowing you saved one of her most treasured creations and residents.
And think about how embarrassed the Duke would be that he can't do it himself.
You are right, of course. Of course you are right. Lead on, warriors! He says and kind of like puts up pudgy little like mole hands.
Fisticuffs. Amazing. As we start heading that way and heading towards the figure, though, like, Aoife's going to take the moment to cast Intellectual Fortress on Tony, since apparently she is getting some...
Worm talk.
Worm talk.
Well, nice.
Worm talk.
Yeah.
So you get resistance to psychic damage, and you get advantage on all intelligence, wisdom, and charisma saving throws.
Ooh.
That's so neat. Yeah, that's real neat.
For the next hour.
All right. So you continue forward, everyone?
Yeah. We're hustling.
What is the pace? Quickly?
Yes.
Yes.
This little figure who you assume to be maybe perhaps the princess, she starts waving her hands. You can see the two figures start running towards you, and you also start like running now to meet them as Professor Mole, you know, as fast as he can run, essentially, which isn't super fast, but he's doing his best. He's so inspired. As you step, like, out into this chasm, immediately you start to see these worms, like, pour from the walls, burrowing out of the sides and from these, like, caverns. And as they're going, they're, like, tumbling down. And again, whatever it is, this, like, anger, this anguish that seems to be consuming them, they're flopping and twisting and just don't seem to have a lot of control of their bodies as the whole entire earth is shaking and they're moving. As the great worm writhes below in this, like, anguish of pain, make me dexterity saving throws.
18 for Aoife.
6 for Tony.
I'm gonna spend my inspiration, so you get a reroll.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. Because Tony, you were, whoa, 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 and there are thin little rails, because boy, Tony was about to fall just over the edge into a pit of worms.
I mean, that didn't really help a whole lot, but we're at a 11 now.
Neat. So Tony, with the sudden shaking, oh, Monte, here, you tell me though, are we losing 2? Just 1.
Minus a 12, but says here that I got lucky footwork. When you fail a dex saving throw, you can use your reaction to roll a d4 and add it to the save. So 16.
Nice. Roll. Do it. That's nice. A good. Yeah, 16 okay. Is great. You all, like, and the earth shakes so much more violently than it has at, like, at any point in this journey as you all are consumed. And, like, a bunch of these worms simply fall on you, Tony. It's like they're, like, pouring out the walls, almost like burst pipes, right, and water. They just, like, start to launch themselves at you. And you are swept off your feet and begin to feel yourself falling down off of this ledge, just, like, down into this well. I'm going to go ahead and give you another dexterity save to see if you can catch yourself on this fall.
15.
Okay. You fall probably 20 feet or so, and you feel yourself free falling, and, like, these worms are around you, and they are also, like, clearly as a tribute to this, like, mania that's consumed them, they are also falling in free fall, and it's not going to end well, but you reach out and, like, you catch, like, one of these roots that is sticking out of the wall, and so about 20 feet below you all, Tony is hanging on a spindly little root above this thing, and this portal, by the way, that burnt the hell out of this great mother worm is about 60 feet below you as you are hanging for dear life on the edge here. What's up, party? How are we handling this?
Lou is going to, seeing her fall, immediately reach into her bag of holding and take out her rope, and she's going to throw one end back towards the party to grab onto and throw the other end down to Tony to grab onto.
Nice.
All right, so Tony, that rope kind of clatters around you all.
I'm grabbing on, and I'm going to make my life easier by using my Mold Earth cantrip again and, like, building little steps into the face.
Oh, hell so yeah.
So good. Such a good use of that spell. My God. Yeah. See, what I appreciate deeply about you is I feel like you're going to use shit that druids can do really well. So take another point of inspiration, kid. I think you used yours. Yeah. Right? So take another one. That's rad.
Cool.
Yeah, so you are, like, climbing up, and as you're going, it becomes very clear to the rest of the party, like, you're hoisting Tony up, but you are running out of time as these worms are, like, coming for you, and I think all of you now at this point are sort of having to block them or kick them or attack them just to leave you all alone, as you see now these two figures winding up, like, running at full speed. Now, at this distance, you can make out the little small figure is a little garlic-headed girl. She's probably about almost, like, 3 feet tall, right? But her face is like a garlic clove, and you can see these spirals of green, like tendrils, like when a garlic, like, starts to sprout, like, her hair around her head, and she's just holding out her little, like, white hand, and they seem to be avoiding her. Right behind is a Herringon, who's crouching, looking terrible in, like, blue overalls, like, looking around, just, like, Holt clutching a pitchfork, like, for dear life. Following this little garlic girl. So they're coming, but it's they're still not quite there. So what's the play as you're playing up Tony? What are you all doing just like narratively to like hold off these worms?
Tony, can you go towards where all the worms are falling from the wall with your shield to kind of like protect a little bit from the oncoming?
Yeah. Once I make my way up there, shield time, and I'm like trying to push against this wave of worms.
Yeah, so as they're like hitting, you're kind of deflecting them off so they go like spinning into the chasm, just trying to buy yourself all a little time. What are the rest of you all doing?
I think Lou's gonna take a note from Tony, and she always has all of her like cook's utensils and stuff with her, and she will take out from the bag, she pulls out cast iron and like a big thick wooden cutting board.
Yes. Hold up. Oh yeah, the good ones, the huge ones with like the ingredient rivets. Amazing. Yeah, so you're holding them up, and yeah, these worms don't seem to have a lot of like forethought or anything going on. So you're holding it up and like bashing them off. Aoife, what are you doing to like help this situation?
Oh, I think with the sort of like psychic energy that sort of naturally sort of bouncing off of this thing from, you know, from this rift and from this disturbance. Mm-hmm. And I think she is like keying into that with the vicious mockery, and she'll, as one gets close, and she's just like is sniping like little psychic jabs at them to keep them away. Like, get back in there.
Yeah, pointing, you know, yeah, psychic dissonance. And what are you doing, Monte, narratively to help this situation?
Yeah, so I'm running and trying to do the same thing as a Tony, but I'm sending sonic blast all over to every worm that's doing that with Toll the Dead, and just running to just be backup in case Tony needs it.
Yeah, so you're like, pew, pew, pew. You're sending them flying off, like trying to like get this sound to drown out like the dolorous, you know, screams that are happening here. So all of you are like kicking ass, holding position like barely on this, when finally, like you see this tiny little garlic princess like finally makes her way to you. And as she does, she's like, get in close! She like yells and like draws you all so you're all within like a foot of her, and she holds out both of her hands and like almost in reaction to like, you don't know what it is, but the worms, they fall and they go and like skitter away, and you have, it seems, about like a 10-foot radius where the worms will refuse to fall on her, and she says, did my father send you?
Yep.
Good. Don't hurt it. It's not its fault. She says, holding out her little arms as hard as she can. And she looks exhausted and so tired.
We know we don't want to hurt it.
Okay. Do you have a way to close the portal? Because this is a mess.
We don't, but do you think your dad might?
Dad? Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. These things haven't let us out of here the whole time. Well, we've been staying, and it's been bleeding. It's been terrible.
Are there any other dukes in the area who we could get to first?
No, no, I suppose he could help. Well, if you know what caused it.
And I explain as fast as I can about what happened and how we can close it or somebody can close it.
Okay, well, that's good news. If it was another fae, then yes, then my father can probably do something about it, but we gotta get out of here.
Let's go.
Yeah, maybe we should get out.
Okay, for some reason, they don't seem to be able to come close to me, so I will hold them off. I think it is the power of the royal stench, she says, and like closes her eyes as she says it like it's some holy thing.
It's like a paladin aura.
Just imagine her arms going out in the fumes from her pits. Just
yes. Yeah. Well, that's totally exactly what's happening. She's raising up her arms.
Oh my god. Yes.
Powerful dynasty.
Stay close to me. And we shall make it through.
At this point, too, the Herringon that's been following is like, Monte? And like, kind of taps you on the shoulder.
Hi, Patches. How's it going?
It's going terribly. Told it. Going very bad.
I know. Maybe we should just get out of here and get the princess and everybody out. Told it.
Okay, did you come to rescue me, buddy?
I did.
Wow, you really are the hero everybody says you are.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Patches. Told it.
You're a good kid, Monte. And, like, raises a hand up to you know, the side of your face. You're a good kid. Your parents would be proud.
And a tear. Single tear. Thank you, Patches. Thank you. Told it. Oh, duck! Told it.
Duck, yeah, and you're like, bam, and like a worm goes flying. He's like, thanks, brother. And then, so all of you.
Lou's like, is there a backstory I'm holding behind me? Let's go.
If it was in front of you, it'd be a front story.
Yeah, front story. Amazing. So all of you, in extreme discomfort, like staying very close to the princess, can make your way like out of the tunnels, and the worms do not seem to bother you as you go along, and you can certainly make your way back to Duke Walla, who, as you approach, is like, Princess,
you're back. You've actually done it. You've done it. And Princess is like, Father, these people have something very important to say, and we have no time. We have no time for greetings. Tell them what you need.
And she looks at you and puts her little garlic hands on her little garlic hips and stares up at you expectantly.
Yeah, Aoife strides forward and she's, now, we've done as we've asked. We've rescued the princess. We've brought her back. We've found the source of disturbance, but only the power of your dukeliness, of your precipitous stench, could truly fix this problem for once and for all. Otherwise, it might continue to plague your plot again, and we certainly cannot have that.
Wait. You're saying that some fae created a portal in my realm without my notice? I'm just saying, is that correct? Is that what you are telling me? Because that seems quite impossible.
It does, and someone must be truly remarkable in their belief of them, in their arrogance, to think that they could challenge someone as mighty as you. But I know that we could help you put a stop to this.
Do you know who it is? It would help me if I have the workings to be able to subvert this horrendous magic. Closing a portal is no small feat, you understand. And if this individual, who I doubt has more power than Duke Huala, but in case they did, it would help to know.
Unfortunately, we don't have that information. We just know someone real powerful created that. And someone is with your powerful stinkiness can close it. We might solve this whole situation, if you will.
No idea. None of you?
No.
None of you have any idea? All right. Well, shall see what I can do. A portal.
And he like slaps his hands together and kind of like throws a hand outwards, and you see like growing out of the ground, there are these like large vines that kind of move into place here that form almost like a circle in between. And you see these swirls of water come up and move like between the edges to form like a flat, almost reflective surface. And suddenly you see it, the hole, the well, these worms pouring from all sides, the great mother worm writhing down below, and this like flickering light in the center as you are like looking upon the scene here. And Duke Walla sort of stands up to his full like 5 foot height, like shoves his like girth around a bit and steps forward towards the portal. So you're asking me to close this portal for you? Is that correct? And he looks at you, Aoife, right in the eyes.
For the good of your own plot, yes.
And he kind of waves a finger. This will settle a little matter between you and I if I do this. This is not particularly something I think I need to do, so I will consider this the settlement of our big favor.
Well, if you want to risk your daughter going missing again in such a strange and terrible place, I mean, I suppose that seems reasonable to me. Do you think that's reasonable, Princess Burgundy? She looks over to her like, your father's allowing your life to be risked again.
She, like, turns, like, red. Like, her little garlic face turns red. And she goes, Father, I cannot believe that you are making such a big deal out of this. This is something clearly affecting your realm. And you are sitting here going back and forth with favors. This is ridiculous. No wonder everybody considers you a large, stinky buffoon. And then the Lord is like, oh. He looks, like, shocked. He looks shocked by this. And he's like, But John, I can't have mortals running around owing favors. She's like, well, you have to give them something in way of reward. This is just ridiculous. and he says, this will settle our big favor, but I will give you something extra for your help. No favor exchange required. My daughter is, and she's like, still bright red. Okay. Perhaps I can give you the name of the fae who created this. I now looking at it, I see their work. Would that be adequate payment?
Oh, I turn to everybody.
I think that'll do.
Not the name, you understand, but what they go by, of course. Yes, of course. And he looks at his daughter, and she's like starting to get more pink, and he's like, okay.
The true ruler.
You suddenly understand why, perhaps, Duke Walla has got his position. And he like waves his like little vine fingers at the image here, and he says, close! And as it does, you see like shooting out of the walls from between like this like bunch of vines just start coming out towards, and they launch themselves, and the first ones are like zapped by this portal. But as they continue to come for more and more and more, they seem to drown out this like light and strangle it unto the point where you can no longer see it, as it just becomes this like ball of withered vines. And there's this like audible popping sound that kind of rings out all around. And then the light is gone. And you see all the worms and everything start like where they've landed on the ground, kind of calm. And, like, slither back up into their holes, and, like, the great coiled thing below turns gently in a circle, and the flesh starts to heal on its body. The Duke says, it is done, and I am, regret to say, this was the work of a one Hakate. You know of her?
Dun, dun, dun!
We're familiar.
Unfortunately.
She has never had this kind of power before, but the ability to puncture holes within other realms, from mortal to fae, she must have gained some kind of new power to do this. This is, grave indeed. I shall report this to the sovereign, but that is, none of your concern. Our big favor is settled.
But why would they do that, though?
I don't know. Why would she want to come into it? Is your mortal village, yes? I suppose there are advantages between Well, many of the courts think that if perhaps more fae can come into the mortal realm, then there's some possibility for that to happen. Many fae are interested in settling your poor, pathetic mortal realm, where the soil is terrible and unnutritious, but that is for reasons beyond me. You will have to go somewhere else to find out that information, but...
Why would she do it here in your realm versus her own?
I don't know. And he looks like suddenly startled, like he hasn't even considered the possibility of why that would be an issue. He's like, I have no idea.
Duke Walla, do you think,
yes,
as an exchange for our small favor, since you are a duke of this realm, that you may be able to make a formal introduction of us once we've returned Monte back to the mortal realm to the Blossom Court Sovereign, as we would like to bring news of this, because I would fear that if Hakate can work her way through one realm, she can work her way through more, and I should like to notify the Sovereign on this issue.
Wish to meet the Blossom Sovereign, that is no small thing, a small favor, but... If you did go and tell her, then I wouldn't have to go and tell her. And if she was mad about it, then it wouldn't be my problem.
She'd actually learn of your heroism in helping us close this portal.
Indeed. Perhaps an increase in your station.
I like the way you, think, little mortals. That's very clever. That's very clever indeed. Yes. As the small favor, I will send an invitation letting the Blossom Sovereign know to expect you. Oh, I can't say I can promise results, but the message will be sent and perhaps an invitation will be extended to you, though I shall say Her Magnificence is quite busy.
Of course, but your extending of good word of us would certainly go far, I imagine. And she gives a very deep curtsy.
He laughs. Yes. Well, I suppose, yes. Oh, in the matter of you, and he kind of waves a hand up, Monte. I suppose I should also say, yes, you are clear of whatever charges may have been leveled against you. You, I suppose you are not responsible in any way, and,
I just fall to my knees and, thank you, your stinkiness, thank you.
And I suppose this was technically a problem that happened in, because of my realm and attack, so I suppose if your pitiable little village needed, I don't know, reparations of some kind, I might be amenable.
We would greatly appreciate that. And I just put like a pack of carrots on the ground. These are from my village, and we can do more if you could help us. So we appreciate all your support.
I will not accept your gift, tricky little mortal, but what I will do here. The blessings of the Blossom Court upon you. And he, like, waves his hands, like, over your carrots. Take them back. Any carrot you will plant from that seed will never die, despite soil conditions, watering, no matter. They will grow forever. And all the blessings of the Blossom Court.
Blessings, Your Onioness.
Yes. Are you ready to leave? I grow tired of your lack of stench.
Of course.
You smell like nothing. It's repulsive.
Yes, I think we best be off.
Farewell. You shall have your missive to the queen. And, yes, farewell. Oh, I suppose you need a way out. Go. And he, like, waves his hand again at the little, like, doorway portal. Free of charge. Please just leave. Get the fuck out.
Thank you, and I'm sure that your stench will linger in our noses and our hearts for many eons to come. Princess Burgundy,
farewell to you. Good luck.
And she says, wait, thank you. Thank you, all of you, for saving me and for talking sense into my father. I know he can be so dim-witted at times, but I do appreciate all you have done. And please do take care of Patches. He is a wonderful individual, if not a little cowersome.
Will do.
And, oh, I promised as well a small gift. And, of course, you saved my life. So, in payment, I have something here that I've been working on. A solution. So perhaps your people do not need to eat fey garlic. They can have this instead. And she'll, like, hand out a little box. Instinctively to you, Lou, by some destiny-ridden... thing.
And she like holds her hands out just like, you have no idea. This is my favorite gift I've ever received. You are just a blessing to this realm. Thank you. And she like grabs it and like brings it straight to her nose and just takes a big whiff.
Oh my God. If you have ever like the most interesting and beautiful garlic you have ever smelled in your whole life. It's like floral, but at the same time has all that like the punch and the sour, and it like you've never experienced anything like it. And she says, if you replant that, it will grow as much as you like it to. In fact, keep it walled.
Walled? Oh.
Oh, or it'll just take over everything. Especially in the mortal realm. Actually, maybe don't plant it in the mortal realm.
Tony, I might need your help.
Oh, Tony's like so excited about this and a little jealous that everyone else is getting like these magical fucking plants and seeds to work with. But like,
yeah. You have the love of a dandelion. What do you want?
Oh.
Yeah, we'll have a nice raised plant bed. It'll be separated and contained. We've got this. But before we go, you should also both know that Professor Mole and our new friend, Dandelion, if you ever come across that.
The bandit?
Yes, he happened to be a very instrumental member of our
the rapscallion? The criminal?
A fine bud indeed, who helped us find your daughter.
Indeed, he sacrificed himself and his bandits in order to ensure that we could make it down into the hole where Princess Burgundy was kept along with Patches.
Well, I suppose if he lives from all of this, I can revisit my harsh restrictions on banditry in the realm.
Amazing.
Well,
you all are very strange and have given me lots to think about.
Aoife's backing away towards the portal like, I do not want to be here a moment longer till his temper turns.
Goodbye, everybody.
Farewell.
Farewell, Princess Burgundy says, as you step through the portal and appear once again in Briar Glen.
Hey.
And you all Yay. Have survived. You've done it. You see now, as you're looking back at Briar Glen, the hole has been mysteriously, like, paved over. I mean, the land's a mess. Like, but now you've got these magic carrots that will, like, grow and replenish your village. And Bun Bun is so happy. And, I mean, Monte, you are hailed as a hero of your people. Like, everybody said you were a hero because you were the only one with, like, literally any capability before. But, like, now you have done it. Can you please give us, like, a little story, a little montage? Like, what happens to Monte after this heroic event, please?
I imagine that we arrive back at the village and everybody's doing, like, hey, hero, hero. And I'm like, oh, please, please. I didn't do this alone. And I introduced to the other heroes that were here. And I guess we do like this whole ceremony. We have like a lot of carrot cake for everybody. The most delicious carrot cake
Gilded
ever.
Carrot cake, even like that. Gilded, that like digestible yeah. gold. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And as I give the carrots, the blessed carrots to the leaders of the village. And I keep like a couple of them. And I hand those to Tony to
Yay. If oh, they definitely. Like.
So before we part ways and everything, it seems like you all have a bigger destiny around here. But if you ever need help or anything, just let me know. And I will be there for you all to help you.
Keep an eye out for our letters.
Will do.
Lou will go over to him and give him a big hug and be like, first of all, you were right about the cake. So good. I'm going to name a cake after you, Limon, when I open up my restaurant. And she hands him like a little business card.
I love it so much. And I will look forward to the day that we meet again. Thank you, everybody.
And Aoife will give, she'll reach out and extend a little felt plushie of a black cauldron filled to the brim with gold as she imparts upon a bardic inspiration to you. And she says, whenever you need just a little bit of something extra to get you, to get you there, think of us.
One of Aoife's lucky charms.
And Monty just grabs it in. I will always have it close to my heart. Thank you, Aoife.
Amazing. So you all, you know, you all have a wonderful time. Much carrot cake has had. Monte has a glorious future of heroism before him. And you all say your farewells and head off. It's been a wonderful, perfect adventure, you all. Thank you. You did it. You survived. You fixed the sinkhole. It was all wonderful. Oh,
good work. Good.
Fantastic.
I love them. I could really live in the flower domestic. I could.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The blossom court. It's all good. It's all good here.
I just never want to ever meet one of those worms ever again. They can stay below the ground. I'm good. Thanks.
I'm good. Thank you. Goodbye. And because, though, it we cannot leave without doing a dream, a memory, or a letter. Before, you know, you all, like, completed a mission, I imagine you all go back to the huts and, you know, Monte's still enjoying his parties and such, but all of you are pretty tired as you make your way back. And Tony, you have a dream. You're walking through a dappled glade. It's just beautiful forest all around you. And for some reason now, it feels so much different than it did before. It's like you always knew the trees were there and could appreciate and feel them, but something about them, like that golden light, the way they shimmer and shine, it feels like they're talking to you. They're speaking to you. And as you move, like, in this dreamlike state, going from tree to tree, you happen upon a glade, and somewhere, like, you know, there's a babbling brook around you, and it's just the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And across this little pond, this figure, like, in golden light, steps gently across towards you. And the figure you see there, this woman, she's got green skin, and her hair is leaves that sprouted from her skin, and she smiles at you and, like, kind of holds her arms open in welcome. And as she looks at you, and then she suddenly looks towards the side and smiles and holds out another hand to a figure of beautiful horse that comes towards you, a green-skinned horse that you have met before. As your friend Arrow walks into the dappled light and comes towards this woman, like, bowing his head, and she places, you know, a hand on his and then looks towards you, and they both look towards you, smiling, and seem to beckon you into that light.
She is drawn like a magnet. Her feet are just taking her there without any thought.
And just as you reach them, you know, that memory, that light kind of fades everything out, and you're in that pleasant dream, feeling a sense of contentment, like something about this, something about your new power. It feels so right, like exactly where you were meant to be. And that's where we're going to end the episode for today. Huzzah! The Blossom Court, we survived. We helped Mother Worm. I'm so proud of you all.
Love it.
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you so much, Jorge. It was so great having you here. We love Monte. I already miss him dearly.
Thank you so much to everybody. This was amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I love him. I will miss him.
No, I'm sad, but he will live on in our stomachs with his carrots and our hearts.
Forever remembered.
With his words. Yeah, so thank you everybody so much for joining us. Before we go, obviously we have some announcements. We always like to take some time to thank our Patreon donors here. So let's go around. Jorge, again, remind people where they can find you, where they can support you, what you do in the TTRPG space, and then also any exciting news you have coming up.
All right, it's me, RoboGoblin. You can find me at TTRPGips on Twitter, Twitch, and Hive. And honestly, just saying this to everybody, this was a dream. Again, thank you so much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure. And honestly, dream come true. And thank you so much.
We're so happy to have you. Like, you were our number one pick from the beginning for our first guest that we wanted on, you know, in favor. And we're thank you so much for everything you gave to the show and to the story. Thank you. And then, yeah, in terms of other news, Nassim, you also had something you wanted to bring up as well.
Yeah, as we know, as we always want to talk about while it's still happening, the Woman Life Freedom Revolution taking place in Iran right now, still happening, still going strong. And there's definitely campaigns online trying to draw attention away from that and trying to make people think that it's slowed down. It definitely hasn't. In fact, a new act has been passed in Congress by a huge majority. The MASA Act, I believe, is what it's called, to increase sanctions as well as encourage Biden administration to do everything in its power to restore internet access for the people of Iran. So that's what they're working on right now. And it's heading to the Senate at the moment. But ways that you can encourage that it doesn't die, that the people in office continue to amplify Iranian voices. As you know, Nufti.org, the link we are sending out right now, there is an advocacy campaign on their website for you to find your representatives. There is a ready-to-go drafted email for you to send to your representative. They'll help you find your representative. Send it to them, call it, read it out to them, whatever it takes. Just make sure people don't forget.
Yes, you can find that link right now in chat as well as our podcast show notes. And as we close out our show, we always like to take some time to say a huge thank you to the people who support the show by whether you're here listening or leaving a rating and review, people who hit that subscribe button, people who like, people who share, people who talk about the show, people who donate on Patreon. You all are our big goddamn heroes. We know times are tough right now, and the fact that you all keep showing up to support, like, just means the world to us. So thank you. Thank you so much. We could not be here without you. And so with that, we always like to take some time to thank our top donor tier Patreon donors. These are the folks who donate monthly, or like you can donate annually at patreon.com/venturemaidens to help support the show, because we don't make any money doing this. You get all our stuff for free. So like, you all are our lifeline. You keep the lights on, and thank you, you beautiful, wonderful people, starting with Debbie. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin, at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter.
Thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
And for Ferris Drinking Mate, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Markalai.
Thank you, Fable.
What's up, Tony? Thank you. Hey.
Thank you so much, Sheepish Gnome.
And thank you, Ben, aka Flower Crown Gaming.
You all are wonderful. You all are fantastic. I cannot wait to continue this story, all the interesting little threads we've gotten. Thank you again, Jorge, for being here. This has been just absolutely incredible. I'm not going to forget. Let's do our intros. Thank you so much, everybody. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
And I am Katie, and I've been playing Luveri Seth, your Drow Rogue Garlic Chef.
Garlic Chef, Garlic Master. And I'm Nassim Etemad. I was your half-orc fighter and baby druid, Fitonia Silvertail.
Heck yes, and I am Sage, and I have been your wheeling and dealing bard, Aoife Flannery.
Amazing. And I am Jorge, and I was Monte, the Eldritch Knight fighter.
Yes, well, thank you everybody so much for listening, and until next time,
Venture away!
Oh, Jorge, you're so good at that. Okay, all right, okay, good luck.